Hi there and welcome to the program. My name is Kwojo Imari. Thank you for watching today. Now today I want to share an important subject, and it's a build-up from last week, and this deals with the aspect of forgiveness, and then we go into something else, which will be probably be public enemy number one, which is using the power of God to deal with what we'll call witchcraft, which is public enemy number one. But first of all, let me start out in building this and showing the importance of forgiveness within our lives and refusing to hold on to offenses within our spirits. Offenses mean that when something is done, either you experience a hurt, a pain by reason of what somebody has done, or on the other flip side, it's just something you picked up because of something else you saw in the life of somebody else, that we are quick to let go of such things. That Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, that if you have anything in your heart against anybody, anything against anybody, and anybody means every single person, the social strata of that person, right, doesn't matter. If that person is a human being created by God walking on the surface of this earth, if you have anything in your heart, any resentment towards that individual, let it go. Now, start out with a story of what happened in the reign of David as king. For 3 years, in a period of time in David's reign, there was no reign over the land of Israel. So David decided to go and inquire of the Lord in prayer. And it's important when we have things within our lives, before we just guess what is going on, or we just, you know, ask somebody and assume what we know what is going on, take some time to pray. And the time when you begin to hear heaven is when you have experienced a note of victory, or you have what is called, when you're praying in the spirit, you have what is called a note of victory, a release, where it seems you have surmounted some form of obstacle to your prayer, and there's just that flow. If you persist within that flow, the Holy Spirit will begin to minister to you concerning what is going on and the details of it. The old patriarchs always understood that before you embark on something, inquire of the Lord. Find out what God is saying. Receive some direction from God before you approach the situation. So David went to God in prayer. And God said to David, it was that bloody man called Saul. That what had happened was that there was an agreement between the nation of Israel and the Gibeonites during the time of Joshua. They came into a covenant and they came into an agreement. And that agreement was such that it was based on deception. Gibeon, they went there after they had seen what God had done to Jericho, to the king of Ai. They went there and deceived them that they came from a far country and they should come into a covenant with them, that there should be a covenant of peace. And then they discovered later on they didn't come from a far country, but they had come into some sort of agreement with them. So the princes came out and said, let's deal with them. And Joshua said, look, the wrath of God will come upon us. We have had an agreement with these people. What we'll do is to make them fetchers of wood and make them servants, but we will not break our agreement to protect them and to fight for them. That if anybody fights against the Gibeonites, the nation of Israel will deploy their own army to help them, because that was the covenant that they had with them. So the Gibeonites began to serve the nation of Israel, but that covenant was there, you know, that they couldn't be touched by the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel couldn't fight them, and the nation of Israel was bound to protect them if anybody came to fight against the Gibeonites. Now, almost 300 years after, when Saul was on the throne, Saul decided that he was going to deal with the Gibeonites, and he killed them. And so what had happened was there was no rain that fell in the nation of Israel. And so when David inquired of God concerning this, God said he should go and meet the Gibeonites and ask them what they want as a recompense for what damage Saul had done. And if he pays that thing to the Gibeonites, the heavens will open again. So he went to meet them and said, what is the atonement? In other words, what is the ransom that you need to be given in order for you, your hearts, to release us and the blessing of the Lord will come upon us? And those folks asked for 7 sons. of Saul. And so David had no choice, and he went to get the 7 sons of Saul. And David, being a man of covenant, did not take Mephibosheth, who was the only son of Jonathan, all right, from a descendant of Saul there. And he handed the rest over, and they hung those people. And what happened was that immediately after that, rain began to fall. So we saw that there was a breach in the agreement there, and a demand was made. Now, this is the way in which, before Christ came, this is the point I want to bring out, that if you actually had a disagreement, you offended somebody, you did something wrong, all right, and there was some form of covenant between you, some form of agreement, that person could inflict and damage your life. And this becomes the doorway to the practice of witchcraft, where people will go and damage and inflict harm upon other people. But when Jesus came to redeem man, this is what Easter is all about, he became the ransom in full. That is, I've been wounded for your transgressions. I have been bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of your peace is laid upon me. By the stripes on my back, you are now healed. So Jesus became the atonement there, which means the ransom to set any man free. So if any person accepts Jesus as the personal Lord and Savior, in other words, they are saying that they've accepted, all right, the price of Christ, and Jesus has shed his blood and bought them off that slave market and set them free. And therefore, nobody can successfully, as it were now, make any demand on the life of that person to do any damage or to shut the heavens over the life of that person, even if that person has wronged you in some way. All right, which means that that person has been set free by the blood. The blood has paid the price for humanity to be set free from such influences. However, in order for the blood to work for a person, God says, here is my covenant with you. Jesus is the ransom, your ransom for anything you have done wrong on the earth, which means that you can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You can declare that I have a redeemer. You said somebody has paid the price. Therefore, no person can lay any claim upon my life. No person can make any demand that they must extract some pound of flesh from me as the ransom for the wrong deed that I have done. However, that since Jesus has paid that, says, here is the agreement that I have, which is the seal of protection over your life. In like manner also, Jesus tells you that if anybody comes and wrongs you in any way, that as you have been, the ransom for your own life has been paid by the blood. That same blood has paid for the life of that person. That is, that person, Jesus has been wounded for the transgression of that person against you. He has been bruised for the iniquity of that person. The chastisement for the peace of that person has been laid upon Jesus. Therefore, you also, right, in order to maintain the blood line in your life and to keep the blood covering over your life, you have to, from your own heart, forgive every single person that has done you any wrong. This is so important. The exchange there is Jesus will protect you, and the blood of Jesus Christ will speak for you, provided you allow that same blood to speak in your own heart for other people. Which means that if you let go, right, of every single person and you make no demand, you don't have any wish inside your heart, you don't have any ill will towards the person, whereby if something happens to that person, you say, well, that is the result of treating me in this particular way. Anybody that treats me wrong always gets back in their lives. Where that demand from your spirit is not upon them. Where Peter said, when he was delivered from jail, said, God has delivered me from the hand of Herod and the expectation of the Jews, which means you have no expectation that is negative over the life of a person because of any wrong that the person has done towards you, even if it's legitimate. That is not even imagined. This is legitimate. This is something that you were in the right, and the person came out of their way and trespassed. The only way in which you put yourself under the blood of Jesus is that you extend that same mercy that was accorded you by the Father through Jesus, you extend it towards humanity. Once your heart is free of any offense, once there is no demand inside your heart towards any person, regardless of what they have done, you stay under that blood covering, and there is no living being that can lay any claim on your life in any way whatsoever. Nobody can successfully bring a charge, all right, on your own account. Nobody can successfully stand up within their house and pass words of condemnation upon you and make pronouncements over your life and it will stick. Nobody can successfully close a door, right, of opportunity by words of accusation against you, provided you do not hold anybody and you let everybody go. So the first thing Satan tries to do, if he says, I want to have access to the life of this person and I want to do damage to the life of this person, is that he gets, all right, he begins to do what is called satanic provocation. The same way the Bible says that Satan provoked David, he wants to provoke you. He wants you to get offended at something somebody is saying. He wants you to get hurt. He wants you to have an offense inside your heart and you don't let go. Because once that is inside your heart, he says, well, a door has been opened up. He can lay a claim in heaven and say, listen, Jesus, you shed your blood for this person. The same way that man in the parable of the unforgiving servant, that the Lord forgave him of everything. He found his fellow servant, did him some wrong. He held onto him and shut him in prison. And then accusation was brought. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren, which means he is the one going to and fro, all right, your adversary, seeking whom he might devour, looking for that opportunity to enter into the life of a person. And he's the accuser. He's the one that will raise an accusation in the courts of heaven against that person that, listen, the blood was shed, he was set free from the demand I was going to make over his life, but he hasn't shown mercy, all right, onto somebody else, and therefore the blood can no longer walk over his life to this degree. So it's important, the first thing, to shut the door on the enemy completely, right? That's why in James it says that the husbandman that waits for the precious fruit of the earth, he does it patiently until he receives the latter, former and the latter rain. He said, therefore, since the judge is standing at the door, he said, do not hold any grudge in your heart against one another, lest you be condemned. Which means holding on to grudges inside your heart against another person, right, brings about condemnation in the courts of heaven. So the first thing you want to do is to keep your heart clean. As Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh unto me, and he has nothing inside me. I have no offense inside my heart towards any person. My spirit is clean and transparent. Paul said, I exercise myself. And this is the real spiritual exercise that increases your capacity to receive from God. Let me tell you, when God is about to do something great within your life, Satan wants you to trip on something. And so he allows an adversary to come up and do provocative things, all right, that will get into your face. And that spirit of provocation begins to come all around. People can begin to rise under the influence of the enemy to provoke you. And what they're trying to do is that they want to provoke you so you get angry, so there's a breach in the spirit, and then he can now come in and say, listen, he's standing on the wrong ground. I believe this is what happened to Job. The Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear. And Job said, is what I feared the most that came upon me. Which means that there was an error in his love work. And that's what he adjusted when Job prayed for his friends, when he brought himself back into harmony. Probably the friends had been jealous of Job's success. Probably they had said provocative things, and Job had allowed those things to get into his heart. And Satan said, this is a way in which I can get in. And so it's important that when you get to a season and there seems to be provocation, somebody seems to arise and is doing something constantly to annoy you. The person might not even know what is going on in the realm of the spirit. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. Men can come under the influence of the enemy and start doing provocative things there. And the whole idea Satan wants is to get you offended, to hold something in your heart against, so that he can go to the courts of heaven and then lay the charge there and say, he has, all right, held on to somebody, even though you, God, you know, you opened up the door for him and you forgave him of every single thing. He still has something in his heart against these people. He's fighting them and all of that. And then he wants to use that to come into your life, God forbid, and get a foothold. So the first step to block any demonic force, to block anything, is have a right attitude towards people. If you're in an office and there's so much provocation, my friend, exercise yourself that your conscience is free of offense. You don't have to interact closely with people. You don't have to be in their circle. You don't have to be in their faces, but you have to have goodwill inside your heart towards them. This is what Abraham tried to avoid with Lot when he saw strife was coming, and he knew that the strife was going to be a daily thing and they will have to exercise themselves and burn spiritual energy. And he knew that this thing will get out of hand. He said, I'll make a deal with you, Lot. Take any part you want, but there must be peace. And there was that separation. And the separation wasn't out of animosity in the heart of Abraham towards Lot. The separation was in order to have peace so that he could project good thoughts and goodwill inside his heart towards Lot, which he showed. When Lot got in trouble, Abraham was the only person that rose up with everything that he had to get Lot out of that particular situation. But Abraham knew he couldn't keep Lot close because of the constant provocation that was coming in to his heart. So he did that in order to maintain the peace. So the important thing, all right, is that you have goodwill inside your heart. The Bible says there are two things in the book of Proverbs that are wrong. He said, for a person to hide hatred inside his heart with lying lips, or a person to utter a slander, which means that you have an ought inside your heart against somebody and then you hide it with lying lips and you greet the person and you hold that thing is inside you. He said, listen, the only solution is get this thing out of your system there. So you don't have to be hypocritical when you're dealing with people. It's coming from a good and transparent place within your heart. To such a person, you're walking in the regions of light. The Bible says that man keeps himself in the love of God, and the evil one cannot touch him. So he's operating in the regions of light, and the evil one cannot access his life. Then the second thing that you've got to do there is to get into the place of prayer. Now, you've got to understand this, that you might do things, right, that are wrong. You might make mistakes in the flesh. You might offend people here and there. And people might harbor things inside their heart and voice those things out. And those things become strong weapons in warfare in the realm of the spirit. Things people voice out of emotional pain and speak it, all right, into the earth. Those words, all right, try to carry negative import. And some people don't know it can do damage and it can affect the lives of people. So it's important after you have walked in forgiveness and you are not uttering such words and you've closed the door on Satan there, that you exercise yourself also in prayer and declare while you pray and pray through that no weapons that are formed or fashioned against me shall prosper, that any tongue that has risen up against me in judgment, I bring those words under divine judgment now that they are condemned, and you keep the gates to your life opened up. You keep the gates to your business opened up. For example, you might have had a business transaction with a person and you delivered late, right? Not because you intended to do it. You delivered late, it affected the business of that person, it hurts that person, and the person voiced it out to people. That is spiritual warfare. That is something that has gone into the atmosphere that will close opportunities down for your own business, that will shut the door in certain places, that there were people God wanted you to reach. All right, that now with the words of that person, those doors could be closed. This is the practical nature of the spiritual warfare that we are involved in. And those doors have to be reopened. And the way you do that is that you overcome the accuser of the brethren there through the blood, which is number one, walking in forgiveness and applying the blood. Number two, the word of your testimony, the declarations of God's word, that no man can lay anything successfully to the charge of God's elect. These are things you voice out in the place of prayer. You pray through over your business. You pray through over your family. You pray through over things. Somebody could say, well, I want to get married. And they've met someone they want to marry. Somebody raises up a voice of accusation, brings something out of the past of that person and shuts the life of that person down, puts the person almost under some cloud of darkness, and it becomes very difficult for anybody to access that person because of the quote-unquote rumors that surround that individual. You've got to take off that veil in the place of prayer. You've got to use words. Go into the word of God. Get promises from God's word. Keep your own heart clean. If people are doing that, have no animosity towards those people. First of all, release those people. Pray for them and bless them. Open your mouth there and call them by name and pronounce blessings that will come upon them. The same kind of blessings you want upon your life, add their names to it and make those pronouncements upon them. But don't leave the words that have been spoken unaddressed in the realms of the spirit, or else those things have the capacity to shut down certain operations that God will want to bring. Because if you are ignorant and you don't push back on those things, then you let those things be. So get into the place of prayer there. Get the promises of God's word. Declare it, because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. No man can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It is God that justifies. No man can condemn me. It is Jesus that died, yea, that he is risen at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me on this particular matter, stepping into it, saying that because he has shed his blood, the words of this people will not stand within my life. And begin to do that. You might pass through a church. Something went wrong in your church. A few people left your church, maybe a good number of people, and got into the street and created an aura around your ministry that this is the way they are in that place. This is how they are. Some of those things might not be true. They might be complete, you know, they might be false statements. But because it is being said by people, this is what the accuser of the brethren means. It's not just something going on in the heavenly places that you have no knowledge about. This is warfare that is going on the earth. And people hear this and shrug their shoulders and move on and don't understand that these are the weapons that are being formed and fashioned against them, tongues that are rising up against them and making pronouncement for the purpose of closing down the doors that need to be opened up for them to realize their destiny. And it's important you pierce through in the heavenlies. Pray these things through, make powerful pronouncement out of your lips, and shut down what the enemy is doing. Do not take things for granted. Don't sit down and allow the enemy to pile up on you without answering back in the realm of the spirit. When they were fighting over the body of Moses there, what happened was that the angel said to God, rebuke the enemy. All right, go to God and ask God to stretch forth his hand and rebuke all of this. And in this day of social media, where people can, on a mass level, you know, spread things out there, it's important, right, that you understand how to pray, how to make intercession, and allow the Holy Spirit, who is the greater one, through groanings that cannot be uttered, to overcome, take hold together with you and overcome these things in the realm of the spirit so that you can live a full life that is void of any influence of witchcraft. It starts by you honoring the blood, forgiving every single person, not uttering any word. Even if you're hurt, take the matter to God, settle it in the courts of God, release the person, pray it out, have a transparent spirit. When you are provoked, all right, avoid situations like that. Make sure you project goodwill towards the people in your closet. Make pronouncements over their lives that constitute the blessing of God that will come upon them. Be true to God in your heart. Be true to those people before God inside your heart as a person of mercy and as a person of forgiveness. And these are declarations you make in your priesthood to affirm the fact that this person, regardless of what they have done, they are under the covering of the blood of Jesus, and I will not touch their lives. Once you do that, you've put yourself into a place where you are operating in the light. Then anything that is being done against you can be demolished completely with prophetic statements from the scriptures. Don't sit down, don't take it for granted. If you don't answer back, all right, and you don't fight back in the realm of the spirit, those things can hold and affect your life. Fight back, make those declarations, and because you are walking in the light and there's no darkness or offense or unforgiveness on the inside of you, you are sure of victory. And you begin to see things happen. You'll find out that places where they have said those things, it is from those very places that the people who will open up the doors for you begin to come out. It's from those places and powerful things that people that felt it will go wrong will be disappointed inside their heart, that with all the pronouncement that we made, with every single thing that we did, still this person is rising as though there is no opposition. It's because they are taking care of their business in the realm of the spirit. We've got to stop here because of time. You can join me on Twitter at Pastor Poju, where we do have conversations like this. Thank you for watching once again. God bless you and have a wonderful week in His presence.
Thank you for watching.